All right, so we figured, where would we go on Friday the 13th, 2012? Well, you know, what place could be lucky? What place could I not get into too much trouble? Well, we figured out you can't get into too much trouble in a school because there's a lot of adults to keep you in line. We are live out in the Wayne Township School System. That is the largest of the township school systems. See, you just learned something you didn't know because you probably assumed Lawrence Township or Washington Township was the largest of the townships. Actually, with an enrollment of over 16,000 students, Wayne Township is the largest school system in Marion County outside of IPS. Among African Americans, it is the fourth largest school system outside of IPS with an African American enrollment of a little over 5,000. We are live from what back in the day? Back when airplanes were made out of propellers, out at Weir Cook Airport, this was where Ben Davis High School was at High School Road just before you get to Washington Street. It has been remade, modernized, and hip-looking to be Ben Davis University High School. Now, before you think that this is a high school for the best of the best in Wayne Township, this is a different and unique high school that tries to reach out to the students at Ben Davis in the Wayne Township area that may be saying, well, maybe I don't want to do college. Maybe I might, you know, go to Ivy Tech for a hot minute, and tries to encourage students to look at college as a positive career. It is a special edition of Afternoons with Amos because it is a Friday. We are out here in the Wayne Township school system. Coming up, we're going to hear from students out here at Ben Davis. Some of them are looking at me saying, why is this guy sitting at a table with Ben Davis colors talking and talking loud? Yes, I'm here, out here. We're going to talk to students. We're going to talk to parents. We're going to talk to some parents, and maybe they have the answer of how to get parental involvement and improve parental involvement in our schools. We'll talk to some of the staff here because one of the things that happens out here at Ben Davis University High School in Wayne Township, they work with Vincennes University where students can be out here at the high school, take high school courses and university and college courses at Vincennes and get credit. And so when they get their high school diploma, they're already halfway down the road to getting a college degree. But we begin with the superintendent of Wayne Township. It's all because he went on Twitter. And Twitter dared me to bring the program out here to Wayne Township. So Twitter works. Dr. Jeff Butts is the superintendent of the Wayne Township schools. Finishing your rookie year? You kind of sort of?
I did. I turned the corner January 1st, Amos.
So he's, he's past the rookie year. The rookie stripes are off of the superintendent's keys, and it's a pleasure, Dr. Jeff Butts, to be out here, not only in the Wayne Township schools, but here at Ben Davis U.
Thank you, and we're so happy to have you here. I'm glad that you responded to my Twitter request. I love following you on Twitter. Amos, I'd also make mention that this facility, which, of course, did used to be Ben Davis High School, serves students from the age of 3 all the way up to 80. Because we not only have University High School in this portion of the building, and there we go with the bell. We also have our preschool, which serves about 400 students in grades 3, 4, and 5, and we have our adult basic education program that serves adult students, adult learners all year long, working towards their graduate education diploma, their GED.
So you got the kids here in this area, in this facility, before you get them in kindergarten. Then you've got them, the adults that are looking for it afterwards, as well as the high school students.
That's right. And one of the things that's been nice with having all of those programs in this same building is you're going to hear later on in this broadcast from our preschool principal. It's going to talk about the partnerships between our high school students and our preschool students and what a great marriage that is.
Before we ask you, you know, about this particular facility and why this concept was created, some broader questions. One of the things you're doing out here in the Wayne Township system is trying to figure out a way under the new state law that talks about how teachers are to be paid as to how do you combine evaluating teachers, what criteria should they be used to be able to get pay increases and merit increases and that kind of thing. How's that process working?
Process is working well. We've come up with a very unique idea on our compensation model, and One of our premises behind that is we believe in the profession of teaching, and we believe in attracting the best and the brightest. I had a chance to listen to your broadcast last week where you had some of those folks over spring break from Teach for America, and one of the things that we're trying to do is to make sure that we build a career ladder. Now, it's based on merit, and it's based on performance, just like the statute says, but that's an important important part of our compensation model is that there's that career ladder. So a teacher knows, as I go through my career, if I meet my benchmarks, then I can earn such and such a salary at certain points in my career. Therefore, I know what my standard of living is going to be as I continue into my profession.
What happens with the teachers that have a class that has a wide range of learning styles? Is the evaluation going to be partly based on if a kid is right there at the borderline in August and come May, the end of May, that kid has made great progress, why shouldn't that be part of a teacher's reward?
Well, and that's exactly right. And the trick that you have with that is – this is for all teachers. This is not just for teachers that have I-STEP graded classrooms. So you have teachers, for instance, in our landscape management program at Area 31 or our culinary arts program or our guidance counselors that have teacher contracts that don't have data directly tied back to the I-STEP. So with each one of those teachers and with each one of those employees, we need to make sure that we have multiple data points, and it will be based on growth. In the evaluation system, 20% of their overall evaluation each year is tied directly back into that student growth, that student achievement piece.
So is it fair to say that some of the same evaluations that you would use with the coaches at regular Ben Davis, whether it's the basketball coaches, whether it's the football coach, or the volleyball coach, or the baseball coach, obviously part of their compensation is tied to how well they motivate those young men and young women to succeed on the athletic field, same kind of principles?
Same kind of principles, and if you liken it to athletic coaches, that also is dependent upon their job. Because if they're not successful in coaching, there's two kinds of coaches. There's those that have been fired and those that will be. And with teachers, if they cannot demonstrate that they are able to move student achievement forward, then their evaluation will end up being an ineffective evaluation, and 2 years of ineffective evaluation results in a termination of a contract.
239-1310, 239-1310, South News and Amos. We are here at Ben Davis University, starting our conversation with the superintendent of the Wayne Township Schools, Dr. Jeff Butts. Let me kind of move on. Let me see if I can be sneaky here today. Well, I didn't. Let me see if I can pick up Dawson. Dawson, are you there?
Here. I just want to say one thing. All they got to do is put prayer back in school, morning prayer. That's what we had when we was going to school. If they put prayer back in school, they'll have some peace and quiet there. That's my comment.
Well, but as I've said, you know, many times on this program, under the laws of the state of Indiana, every classroom in Indiana, right after the Pledge of Allegiance, begins with a moment of silence. That is mandated by state law, and those students that want to use that moment of silence in a positive way, you know, to pray to their Lord and Savior, their God, they're able to do that.
All right, that's my comment. That's all.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoons with Amos. Superintendent, the second thing, and you're the first really system we've been in since the state sent back to all of the schools in Indiana the results of the third grade iRead test. Why the state is going to take them forever and a day to tell the public what went on. You guys have looked at the data. Your third grade teachers have looked at the data. What are you seeing in it?
Well, we're very pleased with the data we got back. You know, we didn't know what to expect in this first test, this first time that we gave the iRead 3. Our results that came back were positive. They were a little bit higher than what we've experienced in the past with our I-STEP scores. But we also, it gives us an opportunity to know which students we need to work with. One of the things that came in out of discussions with some of our principals just the other day, as we think about notifying our parents and notifying our children of their scores on iRead 3, we can't forget that we still have one more I-STEP examination to take in the first week of May. It would not be to our benefit, of course, to tell a child, you have not passed the iRead 3 just before they get ready to take that second portion of the third grade I-STEP test. And so we're in this interesting time period of, when do we release this information? I know we're supposed to release it right away, but we don't want to set a child up for failure because the parent or the child says, well, I've already failed. Why do I even need to try hard on my third grade I-STEP if I haven't passed my iRead 3?
And the next portion of I-STEP, I thought I-STEP was done. The next portion, is that like the essay part?
That's right. That'll be the long response portion where students are reading passages and writing about the passages they read and answering questions. That's coming up here the first week of May.
Well, so that sounds like the state shouldn't have third graders do a multiple-choice reading test until they've completed all the battery of their test in I-STEP, because you're absolutely right. If you tell – actually, it works both ways. If you tell a kid they passed I-Read and they did well, they might slake off and say, hey, I got this, and then they take the next part of the I-STEP, and they might be several points below their potential, their capability. And then the reverse is true. You tell a kid, okay, you didn't make that I-Read, then that kid, you know, zones out, tunes out.
Yeah, that is a concern. Of course, when we move to the spring test, now we're under a deadline, because if we're going to start planning for summer school and the iRead 3 is going to determine which third graders are coming to summer school, then we have to administer early enough that we can get the results back so that we can start to communicate with those parents, communicate with those children, set up all the processes that need to go in place to bring them in over the summer with transportation and food service and of course, parents planning around all that. That summer school time, and so it becomes a time issue. If you waited till after the second administration of I-STEP in May and you gave it that second or third week, you wouldn't get it back early enough to communicate before the end of the school year.
How critical is it that parents and grandparents understand that if for some reason their child did not pass the first I-Read test, that summer school, that remediation not only is mandatory, it is absolute if you want your child to be able to move forward into fourth grade with their peers?
It's critical, and we will communicate that when we talk to those parents, because there is an opportunity for those children at the end of receiving that very intensive reading instruction over summer school to take another iRead 3 examination at the end of the summer, which then can help to determine whether or not they're going to be a third grader or a fourth grader in the 2012-13 school year.
What about, you know, a student that is an A student or a B student and perhaps they just froze up on iRead and they underperformed, or they missed it literally by 1, 2, 3, maybe 10%, you know, 10 points. Does the state give districts any kind of wiggle room, any kind of positive wiggle room?
We do not have wiggle room on whether they passed or not and how many points they are from that. However, one of the things that we're going to do with those students that are very close and have demonstrated success in other ways in their classroom, give them the opportunity to come and take the second administration of that examination this summer without having to attend the full summer school, because we know that they can read. They had a poor day of testing.
In using I-STEP as an example, there was about, when I went and looked at the third grade level, there was about a 10-point differential between the overall number of students that passed and African Americans, and that kind of percentage kind of continued on through Wayne Township. What is the district doing to try to reduce that achievement gap all across your system?
Yeah, that's a critical piece for us, and as our populations continue to grow, you know, if you look at where we were even 5 years ago, Wayne Township was just over 50% Caucasian and about 30% African American. Today, Wayne Township is 43% Caucasian. We're about 35% African American, and our fastest growing population is our Hispanic population. So we have, as you mentioned in the younger grades, we have some achievement gaps that go on with our minority races in Wayne Township versus our Caucasian students. But what we do know, because of the strategies we've put into place, because we have strong practices in working with all students, we turn that upside down by the end of their high school career. And this year, we had a higher percentage of African-American students graduating than we did our Caucasian students.
I mean, this year you had a higher percentage of African-American students at Ben Davis University and regular Ben Davis actually graduate on time, walked across that stage, than the non-African-American students?
That's exactly right. And we can say the same thing for our Hispanic students. We can say the same thing between our free and reduced and our paid lunch students. We have flipped those achievement gaps upside down. So our population that we are working hard to now identify and bring their graduation rates up and their scores up are actually our Caucasian students of poverty. Those are the ones we're struggling with the most.
In terms of the graduation rate, is that done with an increasing number of minority students earning the Core 40 diploma, or is it through waivers? Is it through the general diploma?
It's usually utilizing all the resources that the DOE gives us. And so there is a blend, there's a mix across of not only the Core 40, but also Core 40 academic and technical honors diplomas. In this building, we had 100% graduation rate for the class of 2011. And of those, and you'll hear this several times today, 82% of those students earned their college associate's degree at the same time as their four-year high school diploma.
So wait a minute. You say that when kids graduate from Ben Davis University, they're getting two boxes when they walk off the stage. They're getting a Ben Davis box from Wayne Township, and they're getting a box from Vincennes?
That's correct.
Two for the price of zero.
That's exactly right, and at no charge to our students who live here. We pick up the tuition for those students when they attend Ben Davis University High School. That was one of our commitments when we began this program. And so for the parents, we tell them this is a two-year associate's degree at no charge to you. And, of course, our parents are very excited about that. They get very engaged in that process. We have a student this year here at University High School who actually is walking into Purdue University next year as a senior. They've given her enough credits during her University High School career that she will walk into Purdue University next year as a senior.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons News and Davis. We're with the superintendent of the Wayne Township Schools, Dr. Jeff Butts. Doc, there may be people listening that still think that the bulk of African-American students that attend the Wayne Township Schools are the young men and women who are being bused from the Hallville area out into the district. How small is that number now? Because we're almost 1 or 2 years away from the fact, from the time that no one from the Hallville neighborhood will have to get on a bus to come out to Wayne Township. What is it, 2 or 3? Because we're 12 now. The time's running out.
Yeah, we have 4 more years for our desegregation to be phased out for our students in the Hallville area. And we have about 500 students that come from our desegregation area.
Out of the 5,000 African-Americans. So the bulk of the African-American student population are coming from families who actually live in Wayne Township.
Live in here or transfer from out of district. We have an out of district transfer policy that we accept students before count day. And this year with our Achieve Virtual Education Academy, the first virtual high school, public virtual high school in the state of Indiana, and the University High School and Ben Davis High School, we have about 400 students who live outside of our boundaries who attend school in a Wayne Township school every single day.
One of the questions that comes up in a number of districts is partly how do you deal with discipline, A, B, partly how do you deal with the student that's not motivated or you haven't found the right motivation to motivate them and they're looking for ways that you can kick them out of school because that's really what they want. They really want to sit home and watch, you know, BET or TV1 all day. What kinds of things do you do in terms of alternative education to try to reclaim those young men and women, to try to motivate them? Because earlier you talked about some vocational things, and that's something we don't hear a lot with some school districts in terms of, you know, not everybody wants to go to college or maybe immediately motivated to go to college. I need somebody to know how to fix my car. So, you know, what's the Wayne Township school system doing for those kind of students?
Well, and I would tell you, career and technical education is not one of our alternative routes, but we do have what we call multiple pathways. And so we set up, beginning in the ninth grade center, we have 7 different academies that students that choose to go into, which kind of sets their pathway, but it's set up so that it can be very fluid. If they find out their freshman year, because none of us know what we want to do at 14, but if they find out during their freshman year that they want to do something different, they certainly can. The important point to note in our Area 31 Career Center, every one of those 33 programs that we have in the Area 31 Career Center have college credit tied to them as well, and they have professional certification. So those students walk out of Area 31 employable. They are ready to go. They can walk right into a field. And what we tell our students, we don't tell you you have to go to college, but doggone it, when you walk across that stage, you ought to have the option. So when you walk across and get that Ben Davis High School diploma, you need to have options, and one of those should be college.
What's the biggest challenge this district faces?
Well, I think it's the same challenge that we all face in public education right now, and that is trying to figure out within the system that is currently set into place in Indiana how public education is going to continue to move forward, because our educational system in the state of Indiana is changing greatly as we continue to offer more opportunities and other avenues for students to attend. So my biggest challenge in Wayne Township, let me back up a second. As a parent, Amos, I believe I ought to have the opportunity to send my children wherever I want them to go. If there's a certain focus of a school that I believe meets the needs of my child, that I ought to be able to send them there. As superintendent, I need to make sure it's Wayne Township. And so our challenge is to make sure we're meeting the needs of children while still offering programs that are enticing to them, that help to engage them, that make them want to learn and become really responsible for their own learning and engaged in their own learning.
One of the things whenever I have the opportunity to talk to a school superintendent or a school leader is to make sure the community understands chain of command. Not everything is going to be hunky-dory in a school. Issues come up. Parents may have concerns or something happens with their child or an incident. In Wayne Township, what's the chain of command? If a parent or a grandparent has a problem with their child, whether it's at the elementary level, the junior high level, or the high school level, what's the chain of command? Who do they start with? How does it move on up the top?
I think the first thing that's important to note, none of our employees at any point, at any level in our organization wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to find one parent that I want to really upset today, and I'm going to call them and tell them something about their child they don't want to hear. When our parents or when our teachers and administrators are communicating with parents, it's to try to engage a conversation so that we can work together to help that child to be as successful as possible and help correct whatever actions are going on. So if a parent is looking to call and find help for their child, we always encourage them to start with a teacher first because the teacher is the one that sees them the most every single day. We encourage them to start with a teacher. And, of course, if they don't feel like they've had a good conversation with the teacher and received what they want, then they can talk to an administrator in the building. And then, of course, they come over to the – after that point, they will call the Ed Center. We have a director of secondary education, director of elementary education. And then after that point, of course, they talk to me.
Ultimately, if they're not satisfied with you, they can go to the elected board.
That's right. I have seven bosses that they can talk to, and they do sometimes.
You talked about the transfer policy, and I appreciate you talking about that so the community knows because there is this inconsistency in district. Different districts have different rules. And you mentioned it has to be before the middle of September count day. From a district's point of view, and maybe this is more policy from the board, do we need more count days, maybe three or four count days a year, so districts aren't tied to trying to get everybody in school on a particular day so you can get the maximum amount of money and hope the state doesn't lose some of that money somewhere and you get shortchanged?
Well, starting next year, we have two count days.
There'll be two. Yay!
So legislature passed that we have two count days. The hard part with that is now we have funding on a six-month basis. So we have to figure out how to manage our budget with two different pay structures based on those two different count days. In a business world, you have some flexibility and you can make some decisions more quickly. But in a school setting, we can't fire a teacher in January because all of a sudden we have $30,000 less dollars than we were going to get before and we need to reduce that teacher in order to make budget. Because the last thing I'm going to do is to go into a second grade classroom because my second grade enrollment has gone down, leading to less students and less money, and say, okay, students who love their teacher, students love their teacher after the second day, let me tell you. They love their teacher, but I'm going to send five of you here and five of you there and five of you here, and Mrs. Smith, you no longer have a job. We just can't do that. It's not good for kids. It's not good for the system. And so we'll have to figure out if our enrollment goes down at the second count day, how we're going to make those adjustments, and it's going to have to be operationally.
What happens the reverse? Because there are some districts where their count day will their second. When first of all, when will the second count day be?
Well, there's not a hard and fast date right now, but it's going to be somewhere
typical legislature.
Somewhere end of January, early February.
So let's say end of February, you find that you've got 500 more kids on count day, which you already knew because your class size was increased. So obviously that means some extra dollars coming in.
Right, and for us, that's going to mean that we're going to be able to do some additional things in our facilities. Property tax caps has greatly reduced our tax-supported funds, and so we're already supplementing many funds with our general fund dollars. Additional general fund dollars means that we can put additional resources into the buildings. It means that we can do some additional projects because we won't have to transfer as much money over to our debt service fund or to our capital projects fund, and so it'll allow us some flexibilities to support some of the programs we have.
In terms of special education, and because that's been a hot button subject on the program, what's being done in the schools with the counselors, with the teachers, with your special education staff to make sure, A, that the students that are in special education legitimately belong there and they weren't classified there because, well, the kid's hyperactive, we don't know how to control him, him or her, and we don't know how to deal with that, or there is a quick reaction to try to pressure a parent to put a kid on medication when maybe medication isn't the problem. It's figuring out how to motivate that child to succeed.
Yeah, we live in an over-medicated world, don't we? The first step in that is having a strong response to intervention program or an RTI program. And I'm confident as I look at my special ed numbers, when I have a group of students in special ed that are not passing an examination like the ISTEP examination, I can accept that because our response to intervention program is set up that we provide those supports, we provide those interventions early so that our students don't get 2 or 3 years down the road and haven't had the services that they should have had and now are all of a sudden so far behind that they get classified as having a cognitive disability. We have provided those interventions. We've provided those supports. We know when we identify a student with a cognitive disability and give them an IEP that they truly have a learning disability. And so they are not going to pass that ISTEP examination as readily as another student who is cognitively where they should be. They're going to need those additional supports. They're going to need those additional interventions. What we do know is by providing them with those over the course of time, we're going to get them where they need to be so that they can be successful and learn how to work within that disability.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Dr. Jeff Butts, the superintendent of Wayne Township. We've heard a lot about what you're doing academically, what you're doing to try to encourage students in the Wayne Township schools to be successful, to succeed, that, you know, to further education after high school. And when we hear about these programs, one of the things that we don't hear a lot about from districts around here is, have you all figured out ways to crack one of the biggest problems in public education, but nobody really wants to talk about it, and that is improving parental involvement, figuring out new ways, maybe radical 21st century ways, to engage parents and grandparents in being involved in the school, in being involved with what goes on. Have you all figured out how to cut that Gordian knot, trying some new things out here?
We are trying new things, but no, we have not figured it out, and I'd be lying to you if I told you that we had. One of the things I think that plays into that is life. You know, in the 21st century, we are so busy. And when we look at our parents, almost 80% of our students are on free and reduced lunch. We're getting close to that number. And so we know that many of our families are struggling every single day to put the resources at home to make sure that they have a roof over their head. And in many cases, 800 of our students, in fact, are homeless. So we know.
Wait a minute. You're telling me out of 16,000 kids that go through the Wayne Township schools, you've got 800 that don't have a permanent address right now?
800 students are considered homeless. We drive all over the city to pick up students who were here at one point, lost their home, and had to move to another location, whether it be a house of some kind that is supporting them. Sometimes they're put up into apartment or even hotel facilities. And so we travel all over the city to pick up students every single day to bring them back to Wayne Township because they're allowed to come back with the McKinney-Vento law.
In terms of that, is that a discussion, because here in Indianapolis we're always talking about public education, is that a discussion that we need to have, maybe coming from the business community, maybe this new deputy mayor for education that nobody really is sure what he is supposed to do, to maybe run point, to maybe figure some things out to try to deal with different ways of parental engagement? I remember eons ago, when IPS was the dominant school district, they had something, what they call it, they called Parents in Touch, where they literally shut the school system down at like noon, sent all the kids home, and then opened everything up like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, designed specifically for parents to come like from 4 to 8, and everybody had to be, you know, there to greet the parents. And it was a big deal then, and then I guess all of a sudden it kind of petered out. Do we need to look at those kind of radical things, Saturday day, obviously you can't do it on Sunday, but, you know, Saturday, something, you know, meet the Ben Davis athletes, maybe that'll work, to really try to cut through all of this and engage parents where they are.
Yeah, and all of our schools do things in the evenings and on the weekends and have fun activities for parents to come in and interact with their children. But, you know, Amos, to me, parent engagement is more than inviting them in to watch a concert or to come to carnival night. I think when we're talking about engaging parents, shouldn't we really be talking about having that conversation about what it is that we should be doing together for their children, what it is that our children need, and how do we help them to be successful? And that's the kind of parent engagement that I'm looking for and I think is critical. Certainly we need to open up our doors and have opportunities for parents to come in and interact with their children in those fun kind of ways. But we also need to reach out and engage parents in, so they learn more about what school looks like and what happens with their children every single day. What are those things that their children are going through when they're sitting in the classroom? And I think that's the critical question. That's the critical conversation that we need to have.
Dr. Jeff Butts, first of all, thank you for the invitation to be out here at Ben Davis University, the other Ben Davis, where it's academics are the thing out here. Thanks very much. We're enjoying it out here, having a great time.
Glad that you're here, and what I would tell you is this is a phenomenal place and one of those pathways, one of those other pathways for our students here in Wayne Township. And I know you're getting ready to hear from three of our outstanding students that are going to...
First of all, they're happy because they're not in class. See, I think that's and it's Friday, too. But as I always tell listeners, we rarely do get an opportunity to hear from and talk with students because when we're working, they better be working. So, Dr. Butts, thanks very, very much. We'll take a break. When we come back, three students, uno, dos, tres. They didn't think I knew that. From Ben Davis University, we got... Shaquilla, she's going to correct me during the break. Jeremy and, we really got to work on this during the break. It's Afternoons with Amos. We are live at Ben Davis University High School out here in beautiful Wayne Township. It's Afternoons with Amos on a Friday the 13th after these. Welcome back. We're live at Ben Davis University. They have a in the student lounge kind of area between the university cafe, that's the food, y'all, and the library, they've got TV sets. One is on the news channel. One is on ESPN, so I know what everybody really watches when they're out here. And the other one has the important thing about when the prom tickets are on sale. This is kind of giving all the announcements out here at the school. Ooh, $30 single, $45 for two. Get your tickets now. I've got three proud students of Ben Davis University here in the house. Shaquelle Smith is class of 12. She literally is counting the days before she walks across the stage. We have Jeremy Lucas, who is class of 13. That's next year, so he's got a year and a few days, along with Paulette Morgado. And she's also here. Guys, welcome, because it's always good to talk to students. Shaquelle, let me start with you. So now, first of all, the days are how many more days?
About 27.
See, they're smart out there. You know exactly how many days. What do you want to do? You know, when you graduate, when you walk that stage in 27 days, are you getting more than one diploma?
Of course, I'm getting my academics, my technical honors, and my core 40, and I'm also going to be receiving my 2-year associate's degree.
Wait a minute. So when you walk across that stage in 27 days, you've got your regular Ben Davis diploma, Core 40 and everything, and then you've already are halfway to college?
Of course. And that's amazing to me. I love it.
So that means where are you going to go for your last 2 years of college?
I'm going to the University of Tampa.
University of Tampa, you're going where it's warm. But you're able to have – but so for the cost of 2 years, you'll be done in 2 years.
And I've looked into it, and that's a good thing because it saved me at least a good $30,000.
No kidding. So now, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to be a neonatal nurse.
In Tampa, you want to come back here where we got ice and snow, maybe?
I think I'm going to stay in Tampa.
What attracted you to Tampa? What kind of program attracted you there? And did it help in your admission that you were able to say, hey, I'm coming to Tampa and I'm ready to be a junior already?
Well, Tampa has one of the number one nursing schools in America, so I really wanted to do that. And I just feel like I do want to come back.
How has this program here in this school helped you to get you to this point where you're talking to me on the radio today?
The teachers, really, Dr. Ray has pushed me beyond belief in my medical career, and she has really taught me that I can do it, and staying here has helped me with that.
Let me go over here to this young brother over here. He's really, yeah, I know he's distinguished. Jeremy, when you leave here in a year and 27 days, you're going to have multiple boxes and degrees you're going to walk across the stage with?
Yes, I'm going to walk across the stage with my Core 40 academic honors and technical honors, along with my Vincent's associate's degree.
So you got the Core 40 and that new technical Core 40. Sounds like something out of Star Trek or something.
Yeah, it's just
that's like, old school. So I'm old school. You gotta forgive me for that.
It's like I can go and do a internship, and then that's what provides me with the technical honors.
Now, you were telling me during the commercial break that you want to do IT. Now, you know, the radio station, we got a whole bunch of computers that definitely need fixing. So there might be a career for you down the road. What do you want to do? First of all, do you know yet where you want to go to college? You still evaluating, waiting to see who's gonna make you the best deal.
I've always wanted to go to Purdue since I was, like, in sixth grade, but now I'm deciding Purdue, Rolls-Hulman, or Berkeley.
Which, real Berkeley?
UC Berkeley, yeah.
UC Berkeley. Does he look like a Berkeley brother? Maybe. And what IT, so you want to run your own IT thing, I bet you.
Yes, I want to create, like, a Microsoft or an Apple.
That's one way. That's a good role model. That's a good target. Why has this school been good for you?
Because it's given me a head start against my peers at Ben Davis High School, and I'm like starting classes that I actually want to take with my IT degree.
Paulette Morgado, you're also 1 year and 27 days away. How many degrees you gonna walk out of here with?
Same as them, and with my Core 40 academic honors and my associate's degree in liberal arts.
So now what do you want to do with your life? We got a neonatal nurse is going to, you know, take care of, you know, all the young ones. We got somebody who's going to, you know, fix the computers and the monitors that and all that electronic gear that, you know, she would use to check on the newborn. So what you going to do?
I want to be a middle school education.
You want to be a teacher? You know, most folks don't want to teach. They want to go out and make serious. I mean, he said he wants to be the next Apple and the next Microsoft, so that's serious money, and, you know, nurses are getting over. So yeah, with all this education and, you know, superintendent, they haven't figured out how they're going to pay teachers yet and give you a raise. Why do you want to be a middle school teacher?
Because many of my influential people have been teachers, so I want to show other students and make them have a better future. I want to teach them what teachers have taught me.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon with Amos. Now, you guys have a unique opportunity because, again, I rarely get to talk to students because when I'm working, y'all are working. And we have all these discussions on this program all the time about public education. How do we get students, whether they're African-American, whether they're white, whether they're Hispanic, how do we get them motivated to do better? How do we, you know, how do we get young people excited about education? How do we make school better? So now, first of all, forget that all these adults and administrators are here. Just forget that they're here. Because, just shut your ears. You know, we're having a private conversation here. How can, from you guys are in this, and you guys are in it succeeding. You're doing like two schools work at the same time. So obviously you guys have some ideas on how we can make education better. So this is your opportunity to not to talk to these administrators here because they're not going to listen to you, but to the community, to the audience, to a lot of community leaders that are listening. From your perspective, how can we make it better?
Just you have to support what the students want. You just got to support them, whatever dream they have. Just go for it. And, I mean, some of their dreams might be silly, but you don't know their potential till they decide to take that challenge. Many of us are here because we take that challenge. And with all the support systems that are here, that's why we are succeeding, because we have everyone here like a family helping each other. And that's what really helps the students and everyone to succeed, having the support from both their parents, their family, friends, and everyone to actually listen to them. It may be sound silly to what their dreams they have, but it may be someone famous one day, and I don't know, be whatever they, successful, whatever they choose.
Jeremy, you agree or disagree with Paulette? You got something else that maybe you'd want to add?
I completely agree with Paulette. I do want to add, though, I've always wanted to deal with computers, so coming over to Ben Davis University to actually deal with computers and take classes with computers, that's just motivating me even more.
Did you have people that when you told them what your dream was, they kind of look and say, you can't do that, you need to stick with the traditional? And then if they told you that, if they kind of dissed on your dream, how did you keep such a positive attitude?
Well, we always in life will have people like that and put us down or even tell us, no, you're going to be doing this. Well, I mean, you just have to think about yourself and say, no, this is what I want. This is what I'm setting the goal. And I will prove that I can do it and that I can motivate myself to reach that goal.
Go over here to Shaquelle because she's on the other side of the bench. So I got to get up and kind of get a little bit of my exercise. You agree or disagree with what they said earlier? You got other. I know you got some other things to add too.
I totally agree. I believe that this school doesn't allow you to really not go for your dreams. They really push you to do more than they expected, and I think that's why a lot of us are coming out so successful, because they really tell us that we can do it. And everything that you want to do, they'll help you do it. They'll help you through it so you can be successful.
So part of the key is the staff, the folks that my little hard-earned tax dollar, this check I got to write over the weekend and send to the state of Indiana, they have to be in a position to say to you, yes, you can.
Exactly. And every staff here does do that. Every staff that I've encountered in Wayne Township since I've went to Chapel Hill and the Ninth Grade Center and Ben Davis University have all helped to really motivate me and really get me to the point where I know I can be successful.
Now, you know, I got people listening and saying, okay, they probably handpicked these kids. These are probably the best kids in all of Wayne Township. How then do you get those students, and y'all know who they are, who maybe aren't as focused as you, aren't as motivated, how do we get them to succeed? How do we get them so that they could have been in these chairs today talking to me?
By showing them a new vision. When I first came to Ben Davis University, I wasn't exactly the most motivated student. I was going through a lot of things, and my life wasn't exactly where I wanted it to be, but they showed me that I can do something else. When they came and they did interviews, they made you feel really important and special, and even if your grade point average wasn't where it needed to be, they ensured that it would get there, and they would still help you through it to get to that point where you will be successful.
Jeremy, you kind of, you know, nodding your head over there when she was talking about that.
Yes, I completely agree with Shaquelle about just the teacher's giving us a push, and, like, one of my – well, our librarian, she just helps us with, like, writing our papers. And, well, my weakest subject is English, so that's why.
You're not an English guy?
No, not at all.
All right. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Neighbors. Let me go to the phone, and I got Paul. See, I'm using the technology. We got Paula on the line. Hi, Paula.
Hi there. I'm concerned about the fact that I think Ben Davis University is wonderful, and I love hearing the success stories of these young people and whatever, but what can Wayne Township take from what they're learning about motivating and supporting these students and apply it to the regular school?
That is a great question. That is a great question. So maybe I need to find the Ben Davis University principal. Where's Doc at? Is Doc, where are you at? You're right. You just sit right over there. This is the
important
thing.
I mean, honestly, Amos, are we not supposed to be doing this for every young person? Really? I mean, I'm very excited about hearing about their futures and whatever, these young people from Ben Davis University, but do we not have educated instructors, educators within Wayne Township that can motivate and do this for all people, even those students in special needs at Sanders School and those kind of things? I mean, honestly, all these young people, they're our future. You know, we've got to unite together and try to figure out how we're going to get them going. I mean, and Township.
All right. Okay, you're making great points. So I decided not to go to the principal. I'm going back. I'm following the chain of command. I'm going up to the superintendent. How you've got these three students here that's talking about the staff here at Ben Davis, but how do you – and there's probably a lot of people listening said, well, How do you replicate that so that all 16,000 kids in the Wayne Township schools are getting the kind of motivation that motivated these three?
That's a great question, Amos. And you know, this is one of those pathways. There are many other pathways. We have students who are benefiting from international baccalaureate programs, AP programs, the career and technical program that we talked about in Area 31, our performing arts program. There's just a number of pathways for our students in our other schools. One of the things that makes this successful, it began as a Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation grant that was administered through CEL over at the University of Indianapolis, and that's why this program began. And it was to take a smaller group of students and give them an individualized program in partnership with Vincennes University. Now, the question is, why can't we duplicate this? Well, we certainly hope to do so, and we have some other great ideas. Right now, though, our economy is such that we're in a funding crunch, and so the opening of additional schools of this size with an individual focus is one of the things we'd like to do and hope to do in the future. But our challenge is to take a 4,000-student Ben Davis High School and break it into small learning communities, and that's what we've done with those multiple pathways.
Let me rephrase the question a little bit differently from the caller. Part of what these young people said is staff motivated me. Staff encouraged my dreams. When you talked earlier about evaluating staff, where in that evaluation comes if a teacher is not motivating his or her students, or you get complaints back that the teacher says, you're not going to be about nothing. Your dream is unrealistic. You're not going to be the next Bill Gates. You're not going to be the next head of Apple. Get that out of your head. Just, you know, think you're going to fix tires the rest of your life. Where do you go to make sure that in that evaluation, those kind of staffs that don't encourage and nurture, you know, are encouraged to go nurture and find another job outside the system?
Next week, I'm going to sit down with 30 students, the top 30 students at Ben Davis High School, in the senior class, and they're each going to talk about their most impactful teachers. Not one of them is going to talk about the curriculum that was given. They're all going to talk about relationships, and so that's the most important thing of any of our staff members and what they do with our students. There is a piece within that new evaluation system that's called leadership, and that leadership piece has to be around something that they're not being paid for already in a leadership role. That can include after-school tutoring. It could include mentoring. It could include a number of things. And we know that if a teacher is not being motivating for their own students, then they're not going to see the student achievement growth that also leads back to a successful evaluation.
239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon is the name of seats. See what y'all started? Y'all are really starting. I'm going to come over here. Let me go to Anonymous right quick, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I'll make it quick. The lady that called, she was dead on it.
I know she was.
Every school and every child should be on this same plateau. She's right. Even special needs kids should be treated where they will want to excel and can do whatever that one thing. But that lady was dead on it. All this other format and this, that, and the other to bring the attention. I mean, because even IPS got some students that are brilliant. But the whole, like the man said, leadership is important, too. Everybody that went to school, Amos, to teach just don't make good teachers. And there's some teachers that are excellent. They don't get the review that they should. They don't get, you know, they don't get the praise reports that, you know, it's an unbalanced thing. Thank you.
All right, great points. Thank you. I want to thank our students. You can stay here. You don't have to go back to class. I give you a special dispensation from the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Shaquille Smith, Jeremy Lucas, and Paulette Morgano, all of you listening out there, give them a big round of applause. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll talk to the principal out here at Ben Davis University. Also, this tie-in that they have with Vincennes University. It's After This with Amos, after these.